This is the Doubles Only Tennis Podcast, where you learn the best tips and strategies in the world to help you become a smarter, more effective tennis player. You'll hear interviews with Pro Tour doubles players and coaches, including easy-to-use lessons to improve your game and win more matches. My name is Will Bocek, founder of the Tennis Tribe, doubles strategy coach, and host of the show. Hey everyone, and welcome to this episode, I believe episode number 13 of the Doubles Only Tennis Podcast. In today's show, we're going to be talking about one of the most common questions I get from readers and listeners of the show, and that is, how do I beat a team that lobs? How do I defend against the pusher? We're going to talk about three specific things for playing a team that lobs. First off, we're going to talk about overheads. Then we're going to talk about how to defend and kind of position ourselves against a team that lobs. And then the last thing, and probably the most important, is we're going to talk about how to prevent the lob in the first place. And as I go through this, I'm going to tell you a few stories of different matches that I've played in against a team like this and what I did to kind of turn the tables and shift the momentum of the match. So to start out, we're going to talk about overheads. One thing that a lot of players at this USTA 3-0, 3-5, 4-0 level, the players that struggle against teams that lob a lot or struggle against teams that are, quote, pushers, one thing that I see from a lot of them is they don't, or that I hear from a lot of them, because I speak with them, is they don't practice their overheads enough during practice. So ask yourself how often during practice you're working on your overheads. And if it's not very often, you should probably go out and work on this more often. This is a very obvious point, but it's something that a lot of people miss. So I just wanted to point that out. I'm not going to talk about overhead technique. Go to Google and look up overhead technique. There's tons of YouTube videos on that and how to improve your overhead technique. I'll find some of my favorites and link to them in the show notes as well. So check that out. But if you can improve your overhead, then the other team will probably quit lobbing you. So we want to be working on our overhead. Obviously power, but more importantly is probably accuracy. So be sure to practice that next time you go out. You know, set up some targets, work on it from your side of the court that you return from. Work on it from the other side a little bit since you'll probably be serving over there. And work on hitting your overheads, you know, to different targets, maybe deep down the middle, maybe angling them off for some of the shorter ones, things like that. So that's the first point. Work on your overheads more in practice to beat a team that lobs. Next, we're going to talk about how to defend against the lob and how to position ourselves against the lob. So there's a few questions I like to ask myself if I'm playing against this type of team. The first thing that you'll want to know is which player on your team is faster. If one player is faster, that's probably the person that's going to be covering the lob. They're going to be defending against it if both players do get to the net. Also, which player has a better overhead? So in my case, a lot of the time, if I'm the faster player and I have the better overhead, I return in the ad court anyways, so my forehand's in the middle, so I'm able to cover the lob a lot easier. If they lob my partner, I'm able to run back into the deuce court, and I have a forehand, which I'll have more reach with, and it's my stronger shot. If they lob me, I can just back up and hit an overhead. So typically, if one player is faster and they have a better overhead against a team that lobs, try to get them to the ad court so that they can have their forehand in the middle. Obviously, if they're left-handed, then that changes and you'll play them in the deuce court. But that's one kind of small tweak you can make to help defend against that lob. And then the slower player can just play right on top of the net. So if the opponent goes at them, they can easily put away the volley and the other player will be responsible for covering the lob. So that's one way to think about this. It's not always the case that one player is clearly faster than the other. Maybe you have to help each other out. If you didn't hear the podcast from a couple weeks ago, I had Gigi Fernandez on. She is a 17-time Grand Slam major champion in doubles. She won two Olympic gold medals in the 90s, and now she coaches club-level doubles players. So she was a really great interview, and go back and listen to that. But she talked about using the staggered position for the lob. So what that means is the player that is opposite the ball side needs to back a little bit further off the net and use this kind of staggered position. So if the ball, let's say the ball's on the opponent's side at the back player in the deuce court, the person on the deuce court on your side needs to play maybe a little bit closer to the service line instead of charging and getting all the way into the net. And that way, it'll be more difficult for the opponent to lob. And the reason for that is lobbing down the line is a lot harder because they have a shorter court to work with. So you're gonna force them to lob down the line, which is a more difficult lob, and they'll be more likely to leave it short or miss it long. And then because you're staggered, you'll be able to go over and cover that lob if they do lob down the line. And you're kind of taking away that cross-court lob from them, which is a little bit easier shot, like I said. Another thing you can do with positioning is play two back. And then really, you want to wait for the right ball to come forward. We'll talk about that here in a minute, but a lot of times that's going to be to the backhand side. If that's the weaker shot, it's going to be a ball with a lot of depth so that they struggle to hit a lot of depth back on their lob. And if one person on your side prefers to play back, you can always leave them back and move them up to the net. So I was playing in a tournament earlier this summer against a player who really liked to lob a lot. And my partner and I got down 1-4 or 1-5, I believe, in the first set. And I had already lost my serve twice. And we were sitting there talking on the changeover. And what I decided is my partner likes to be at the baseline more than I do. Now, we both ideally like to get to the net, but my partner has better ground strokes than I do from the baseline, and I have a little bit better volleys when I get to the net. So what I did next time I served is I pulled my partner back and played two back on the serve, which I it took every bone in my body to be able to do this because I hate playing two back on my own serve or my partner's serve because typically you have the advantage there. But we really didn't know what else to do. They kept lobbing my partner, and I had to cross and hit a backhand ground stroke, and it just put us in a really bad position. So what I did is I pulled my partner back when we were serving in the deuce court to the guy who was lobbing, and I just served and volleyed. And I didn't lose my serve the rest of the match. And we came back, and we still lost that first set in a tiebreaker 7-6 after being down, I think 1-5 it was. And then we won the second set 6-1 and then lost in a third set 10-point tiebreaker, which was unfortunate, but we had really changed the momentum of the match because we figured out that my partner is better from the baseline, I'm better from the net, so how can we make that happen more often? How can we get in our most advantageous position? And that the answer to that was pulling my partner back on my serve. So think about that next time you're out there. Which one of us on our side likes to play from the baseline more? Which one of us likes to play from the net more? Or is it best for us to both play back until we get a really good opportunity to move forward? So next, I want to talk about an even more kind of in-depth or even better strategy for playing against a team that lobs or a team that pushes, and that is how do we prevent the lob in the first place? If we can just prevent the lob in the first place, then we don't have to worry about defending against it. We don't have to worry about our positioning as much. We don't have to stagger and play a little bit off the net, which is not ideal. Ideally, we'd like to play right on top of the net so that we can put that pressure on the opponent. So that's what we're going to dive into next, is how to prevent the lob or prevent the pushers from hitting the ball over our heads and kind of keeping us at the baseline. So I did a video on this a while back, and I also wrote about it on the women's tennis blog, who I write for every now and then, and I'll link to both of those, the video and the article in the show notes. But in the video, what I called this is the seek and destroy method. And essentially, all you have to do is seek out the lobber's weakness and then just attack that relentlessly. And I want to talk about how to do that because that's not as obvious as it sounds. So when we're looking for a weakness for a particular player, we can keep it simple and just look at forehands and backhands, right? Which one's weaker, the forehand or the backhand side? But we can also drill down and get a lot more in-depth. And depending on the skill level that you're playing at, you're going to want to go a little bit deeper the higher skill level you are. So if you're maybe a 2-5 or a 3-0 player, it might be as simple as that player is really good at lobbing with their forehand, so we have to keep it to their backhand. But if you're at a 3-5, 4-0, even a 4-5 level, then you're going to have to drill down a little bit further than that. The player might be good at lobbing from both the forehand and backhand side, so we have to play with a few other variables. And the variables that we want to be looking at is depth, direction, height, pace, and spin. So I'm going to go through each of those really briefly here. So depth is as simple as the depth with which you're hitting the ball. So where is the ball landing in the court? If it's landing closer to the baseline, obviously that's going to be a much deeper ball. If you're hitting a drop shot, it's going to be a shallower ball. And you want to play with that and figure out, okay, does this lobber like the deep balls? Do they like to stay back by the fence and then just, you know, hit the ball up and hit it back towards my baseline? Or do they prefer the shorter balls and they struggle with the depth? Or maybe they struggle when we hit a drop shot and try to bring them forward. So depth is something we want to play with and try to figure out. It might be a short backhand. It might be a short forehand. It just depends on the player. So that's one thing you want to experiment with. See if you can notice on the other side of the net if they struggle with a particular depth. The second variable is direction. Again, this is similar to forehand and backhand. So does the player prefer to hit a lob on their forehand or backhand side? There's a few players I've played against in the past that actually prefer to lob from the backhand, and they struggle to lob from the forehand. So definitely play with direction a little bit, varying kind of left to right and moving them side to side. Height is another big one. So some lobbers really like have to have the ball in their strike zone, which might be next to their hip, or it might be shoulder height, or maybe it's a little lower down by their knee. But experiment with different heights. So you can lob it back to them, hit a high kind of heavy ball with topspin if you're at a skill level where you can do that. And they might struggle to get a lot of depth on the ball if they're hitting it up at their shoulder and it's kind of penetrating through the court a little bit. If you hit a lower ball, some players are going to struggle to lob against that. So maybe you hit a slice that stays low and kind of drives through the court, and they struggle to lob against that. Maybe their lobs are landing short. So definitely experiment with different heights and see which ones the opponent struggles to lob with most. The next one was pace. So a few years ago, I was playing in another tournament, and it was a mixed match, and I was playing against a lady who liked to lob a lot, and I kept hitting the ball really hard, trying to hit through her, thinking it would work, and she just kept lobbing and putting the ball back within 3 feet of the baseline, and there was really not much I could do, and I think my partner and I got down 1-3 in the first set. And what I decided to do is quit trying to hit the ball so hard. And I can't tell you how many players or how many matches I see at tournaments where one team is lobbing and the other team is just trying to hit the ball as hard as they can. And they keep making errors and keep making errors. So in this particular match, I decided to quit hitting with so much pace, and I started hitting high topspin balls. And the lobs, all of a sudden, instead of landing close to the baseline, they landed close to the service line. And I was able to move forward and hit overheads on them and end the point. And from down 1-3, I think we won the match like 6-2, 6-1 or something like that. So that small tweak made a big adjustment. So pace is something just another variable to experiment with. And as you can see, as I explained there, with that one, I also experimented with height, right? So I hit a higher, heavy ball that was a lot slower. And then the last variable that I've mentioned a few times is spin. So maybe the player on the other side of the net struggles to hit a lob against topspin, or maybe they struggle against a slice, or maybe they struggle against a flat ball. It depends. So definitely changing all these variables up and just kind of notice as you change one, which balls landed closer to the service line versus closer to the baseline, or which ones did they miss, and which ones are they struggling to lob against. And once you can figure that out, they're struggling with, you know, short forehands when we hit a low slice and try to bring them to the net. You can just kind of keep doing that. And obviously, this is going to be your primary pattern, the primary thing you're going to do. And then you're also going to kind of vary some of the other shots in as well. So maybe you hit high and heavy deep once or twice, and then you bring them in short to the net on their forehand side because you know that's the shot that they're going to struggle with. So again, the variables we want to play with: depth, direction, height, pace, and spin. And as you play with those, you'll be able to kind of seek out the weakness of the lobber, and you'll be able to prevent them from hitting the lob in the first place, and they should struggle a little bit more. So definitely try all those things out next time you're out on the court. Work with your partner and see what y'all can come up with and kind of test out in the first set, and you should be able to figure out where the weakness is and turn the match around. If you're a doubles player, you'll love our weekly doubles newsletter. Every Thursday, we send you doubles tips and strategies to help you improve your game and become a smarter player. When you sign up, you'll get a free 10-page guide on how to play with more confidence and dominate at the net in doubles. You can go to thetennistribe.com to sign up now.